You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
If you're running around planting that bad attitude in a piece of your mind, you know, and your rude behavior, guess what you're going to get back? Hello. But if you want love, plant love. If you want forgiveness, plant forgiveness. If you want grace, plant grace.
What kind of seeds are you planting with your words and actions? As a Christian, it's very easy to get caught in the trap of a judgmental and condemning attitude. The world doesn't need this message from the very people who've been saved by God's grace alone. Pastor Dion encourages you today to reach out to others in love, helping them shoulder their burdens. If you plant seeds of grace and mercy, you'll see more of these in your life and from others. Cultivate a life that welcomes others into God's family. Now here's Pastor Dion in the book of Galatians chapter 6 with today's edition of The Simple Truth.
Now it might surprise you that some Christians avoid people. You know, they act like they might get cooties or leprosy from people. They avoid people like a skunk at a picnic. You know what I'm saying? They just avoid it. They steer clear from any type of interaction with people. There are some people like that. They're antisocial, insulated, disconnected. Then there are other Christians that act like people are an interruption, a nuisance, an inconvenience. What do they want? What do they need now? I just want to be left alone. Don't bother me. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking about you right now. Just look at him and tell him that. You know, Jesus' disciples asked him to put the do not disturb sign out one time. They did. Send the crowds away, they told Jesus. See, they saw the crowds as a disturbance. But Jesus saw them differently. Here's the verse, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Read it with me. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus didn't see people as a drain, but like sheep needing direction and help and care. Jesus didn't see people as problems, but as an opportunity to share grace. Isn't that exciting, guys? I think that's what he's implying to us. Hey, listen, you might avoid people, but listen, don't. Look at your neighbor and say, don't. So some Christians avoid people, and some people avoid some Christians. So there are some Christians that avoid people, and there are some people who avoid some Christians. Oh, yeah. Especially the proud, prejudice, and condescending ones. Huh? Especially those ones. They avoid them. You know, the ones who look down their noses and speak with an exclamation point. You're in sin! You need to repent! Huh? These holier-than-all Christians pride themselves in their rigid disciplines. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do, right? The list of all the things they don't do is a mile long. I don't cuss, I don't dance, I don't get tats, and I definitely don't go to parties. Well, don't worry, no one's going to invite you to one, Joy Kill. Huh? Did you ever notice how many parties Jesus was invited to? And not to provide entertainment or extra coverage, you know, Like in case we run out of wine, it's, you know, he's good to have around. Or in case, you know, we run out of bread, because he multiplies that too. Or in case the weather doesn't cooperate, because after all, Jesus can really just calm the storm. Yeah. They didn't invite Jesus for that reason. Even though Jesus was pretty nifty with that stuff. But that's not why they invited him. Jesus was invited because people liked him. Huh? Jesus' Facebook page was trending. And not just with church friends. Jesus was popular with the riffraff, with tax collectors and sinners. They didn't consider Jesus a killjoy, a know-it-all, a party crasher. Jesus didn't have a long face. Jesus was fun to be around. Say it out loud. Jesus was fun to be around. You know, some religious folks might find that statement irreverent, blasphemous, or disrespectful. They think Jesus and fun shouldn't even be in the same sentence. Jokes and sermons, laughter in church, Jesus and fun. Sacrilege! That's what some of them say. Those folks get as hostile as Democrats at a Trump rally. Protests and walkouts. But the truth is that Jesus attended parties and had fun. Not fun in debauchery or adultery or drunkenness. Jesus never endorsed compromise or obscenity. But Jesus loved good food, good music, and connecting with people. Jesus never missed a service at the synagogue or a party that he was invited to. Wow. And if you read Jesus' story, you know that he did just as much ministry in both places. You see, ministry is done in the context of relationship. I'm going to say it again. Ministry is done in the context of relationship. So if we're not making any connections, grace is at a standstill. Maybe it's time to get some invites and make some appearances of grace. Not on your life, no way. Some people might. But that's what we need to do. See, the dry, pompous religious leaders were never invited to parties. They were never invited to the parties. They probably got, you know, it's like when Nacho sings in Nacho Libre. It's because they don't dance at the parties, right? That's why they didn't get invited. The religious leaders, they didn't get invited to the party, so they just lingered outside watching and criticizing Jesus. Where he hung out, who he was hanging out with, who touched him, and what and how much he had to drink. That's what they were recording. The religious leaders send out tweets about Jesus that dripped with disapproval and condemnation. Here was hashtag blasphemy. Here's what they said. Luke chapter 5, this was their tweet. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also are with him. But the Pharisees and their teachers and the teachers of the religious law complained bitterly. Here's the tweet. Why does he eat and drink with such scum? Wow. Well, Jesus tweeted back. Here it is. Read it out loud with me. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That ought to give you, it deserves an applause, isn't it? Woo! See, the sick were important to Jesus, and they should be important to us. So Paul says that we should get off our high horse and help some folks. Burdens of guilt, burdens of doubt, burdens of depression, burdens of sickness. burdens of addiction, burdens. So here's what he's saying. Paul is saying we need to step down from our ivory towers and reach those who are struggling. Reach out to those who are struggling. Struggling with addiction or anger or lust or compromise or immorality or temptation. Reach out to people who are struggling with sickness or age or poverty. Reach out to people who are struggling with faithfulness or devotion and discipline. They just are having a hard time with it. Let us reach out to people that some might consider needy or greedy or sneaky or greasy or freaky, right? Help them bear their burdens. See, we need to sideline our attitudes of disapproval, of pride, of prejudice, of judgment, and self-importance. Everybody say that word, self-important. So there are sometimes that we avoid people or we have an attitude towards people, and that's why we don't. And Paul says, hey, listen, this salvation that you've received, if you're soaking in it, it's the grace of God. It should make you more gracious. And so you shouldn't have an eye of prejudice and look at people with a stink eye because of their background or their color or their tats or their whatever, their appearance. He said, no, we should reach out to people in their burdens. We should reach out to the needy, the greedy, the greasy, the freaky, all of them. Laying down our attitudes of disapproval or self-importance. Look at chapter 6, verse 2. Here's what he goes on to say. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. And we'll stop right there. So Paul encouraged us to have some consideration, some compassion, some humility. Everybody say the word. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. In fact, let's say it together. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Now, it sounds good, but it's kind of hard to do. Are you with me? Well, nobody said it would be easy. Even the disciples had trouble with being humble. I mean, 3.5 years with Jesus. I mean, his person, his attitude, his miracles, his teaching, his model. 3.5 years, every day, 24/7, 365 with Jesus. And at the Last Supper, Jesus finds the disciples arguing. Not about doctrine, not about vision, not about mission, not about ministry styles, but about importance. Huh? Who's the greatest? Can you see Peter telling John, I've done wrestled an alligator, I've tussled with a whale, I've done handcuffed lightning and thrown thunder in jail. Well, last week, I murdered a rock. I hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick. I'm the greatest of all time. Can you see Peter telling John that? I'm important. I'm big. I'm something. Who's the greatest? You know, in the early 1500s, scientist and astrologer Ptolemy, he declared what everyone else wanted to hear, what they had suspected all along. We are the center of the universe. He came and he put a pin on a map, a solar map. He put a pin and said, the earth, right on the earth, this is the center of everything. Everything else revolves around us. And people said, yeah, we knew it all the time. We are the center. But then another guy, Nicholas Copernicus, came around. And he started asking questions. Well, why do we have seasons? Why does the seasons change? Why does this happen? Why does the tides change? Why does all of this happen? And that's when he discovered, guess what? He pointed to the sun and told everyone, that is the center of the universe. We revolve around it. Guess what? It didn't go over real well. Shut up, they told him. You're wrong. Oh, yeah. It's all about us. Centuries later, even though we have the modern technology and know the facts, somehow you and I still think we are the center of the universe. I mean, we can get so enamored with ourselves. Busy, busy, busy. You would think we were the ones that keep the earth on its axis. You think we were the ones that keep the planets in order and the oceans contained and the sun on time. I mean, there's no time, no time, no, I have no time to slow down and serve. No way, I'm busy. But Jesus, the one who actually does maintain all of creation, walked slowly through the crowds. He took the time to play with some toddlers, to wait some tables, to visit the sick, to teach a small group, to host some dinners, to wash some dirty feet. There's a good place right there for you to say, wow. Or ouch, whichever one suits you. In Jesus' own words, he said, he came not to be served, but to serve. The Apostle Paul explained it like this to the Philippians. Read it with me, talking about Jesus. Christ himself was like God in everything. But he did not think that being equal with God was something to be used for his own benefit. But he gave up his place with God and made himself, everybody say it, of no reputation, is the King James. He was born to be a man and became like a, everybody say it. And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even when obedience meant death, death on a cross. Wow. Humility, surrender. Paul is saying we have to have Jesus' attitude. Let someone else run the universe for a while. You share love. You've enjoyed and are understanding this humongous salvation. Here's what it looks like or should look like coming out of our lives. It should look exactly like Jesus when it comes to others. So, Paul is saying to have Jesus' attitude. Let someone else run the universe for a while and you share the love. You've received grace lavishly. So everybody say it out loud. Give grace lavishly. Don't be isolated, indifferent, timid, or shy. Don't be proud, arrogant, condescending, or judgmental. Don't make people feel inferior or unimportant. Give grace. Say it out loud. Give grace. And remember that the more grace you give, the more you will receive. Let's read it. Last verses here, 6 through 10. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We'll stop there. So he says, hey, listen, the more grace you give, the more you will receive. Reaping what you sow is a spiritual law. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Did you hear that? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what? Then, in the prayer we refer to as the Our Father, Jesus said that our forgiveness is equivalent to the forgiveness that we give. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Are you guys seeing this? Then, in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, let's read Jesus' words out loud. Last verse. Don't judge other people, and you will not be judged. Don't accuse others of being guilty, and you will not be accused of being guilty. Forgive, and you will be. Give, and you will receive. You will be given much, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It shall spill into your lap. The way you give to others is the way God will give to you. I hope that rocked your world right there. You know, so if you're running around planting that bad attitude in a piece of your mind, you know, and your rude behavior, guess what you're going to get back? Hello. But if you want love, plant love. If you want forgiveness, plant forgiveness. If you want grace, plant grace. That's Paul's story. Not much more to it, except to live it. So here's what we know. Such a great, beautiful salvation laid out for us in so many steps, categorized in so many gifts. And he says, and now, as you learn about it, as you walk in it, I hope that it colors and it tints and it flavors how you live. You have freely received grace, so now we have the opportunity to freely give grace. As we cling to the simple,
today's message is just one of many teachings Pastor Dion Cordova has shared from the book of Galatians and other books of the Bible. If you'd like to listen to more, we invite you to join us at our website, tmcalvary.com. Just click on Sermons at the top of the page to open up our audio archive, or you can visit our YouTube page to experience the service through video. Feel free to share these links with anyone in your life that you think would benefit from hearing the simple truth of God's Word. Do you spend time on social media? If so, we'd love for you to explore our Facebook page. You'll find links to our videos, posts with encouraging scripture, and plenty of information about events and updates on our church. You can find a link at our website. Again, that's tmcalvary.com. While you're there, you can learn more about the church that's behind these teachings on the simple truth. Here at Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel, we enjoy a relaxed atmosphere, a friendly people who genuinely care about each other. Would you like to join us in person for our Sunday morning services? Come by at 9 or 11 a.m. to worship Jesus, learn from the Bible, and meet some great fellow believers. We also meet on Wednesday evenings for a Bible study beginning at 7 p.m. Find directions and more information about Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel when you visit tmcalvary.com. We're so glad you took time today to listen to our program. Join us next time to continue exploring the book of Galatians with Pastor Dion. That's right here on The Simple Truth. You're the one that we proclaim. We'll be fools for you as you work in us.
May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands, and together we stand.
Together.